Hello, Central Illinois. This is Pat, and I'm reading from the Clinton Journal for Friday, July the 24th. On the front page, resident asks about water main leaks. Gordon Woods reporting. From Clinton, a Clinton resident, Russell Long, spoke to the City Council Monday about water line problems along East Adams Street. Last night, I drove from East Jefferson to East Main Street, which is technically two blocks, although it's the length of one block, Long said. And there's 21 cuts in the road from where the water line has broken over the past 2 or 3 years. East Adams Street discontinues, then continues across one block. Long's mother lives in the vicinity along East Adams Street. Just this past month, she's been without water 5 times, Long said. I'd like you to consider looking at that section of the line. Commissioner John Wise said he understood the frustration involved when residents lose their water. He said the primary problem was the age of the city's infrastructure, a common problem across the U.S. Availability of funds to pay for new water mains also is a problem. Wise says section of water main in that area were about to be replaced, the first section from East Jefferson Street to East Main Street. During Monday's meeting, the council approved the following. Lime silo spare parts for the water department from Henson Robinson Company for $45,791. An ordinance approving and authorizing the execution of the TIF 1 redevelopment agreement with Adherit LCC and Sasha Patel. An ordinance approving and adopting fiscal year 2027 residential improvement program for the TIF 4 district. New business placed on file or approved for the next meeting included laptop computers from Hart Technologies for $13,805, approved. Replacement tires for Clinton Fire Engine No. 2 from either Walker Tire for $3,978 or CNA Family Tire for $4,690.80. Purchase of real estate, 600 East Woodlawn, bid price approved. Purchase of real estate, 715 South Kane, bid price approved. An ordinance authorizing the purchase of real estate, 600 East Woodlawn. An ordinance authorizing the purchase of real estate, 715 South Kane. And also from the front page. DeWitt County Township officials hold annual dinner meeting. Gordon Woods reporting. Waynesville. DeWitt County Township officials held its annual dinner Monday night at the Waynesville American Legion Hall. Guests included Senator Sally Turner, Representative Reagan Deering, and candidate for Macon County Clerk Brian Smith. 3 township officials' essay winners were also presented during the dinner. Smith addressed a current hot topic, consolidation of taxing districts. We all are very much supporters of local government, Smith said during his brief message. As you know, working in the trenches of your townships, government affects us on a daily basis. When we get up in the morning and turn on the faucet, when we're driving on the roads or streets, when emergency services are needed, and the list goes on. Smith pointed out the state of Illinois currently has nearly 9,000 units of local government. Smith is a former Macon County Township and Macon County Board official. That's a lot of units of local government. It includes school districts, cities, villages, counties, townships, road districts, special districts, cemetery districts, drainage districts, street lighting districts. He said Illinois had more than 3,000 special districts alone. Smith said the public would be amazed to hear about some of the special districts created in Illinois, including street lighting districts. You know what they do, Smith asked. They elect 3 people to pay a power bill. To me, that doesn't make a lot of sense, so I'm not against consolidation. Smith said he felt there was a need to consolidate some special districts. Some of the districts were created for specific purposes decades ago, and getting rid of them is sometimes a little bit harder, Smith said. It seems as though we keep adding layer upon layer of government instead of trying to consolidate some of them. He said both political parties in Illinois had in the past attempted to address the issue. In my years of experience, I believe that consolidation of governments has been driven at the county, township, and municipal levels. Smith said a law he helped develop and has been in effect for many years makes it possible for many of the special districts to merge into township governments if they are approved by voters. Listen very carefully, however, Smith said. Consolidating government isn't necessarily going to relieve tax burdens. He said consolidation can reduce duplication, improve efficiency, and can help manage costs over time. But a lot of those property taxes are driven by broader factors and funding needs, Smith said. He said Illinois has a system that has an opportunity to work as long as people are aware of what consolidation is, what it will do, and what it will mean for services and costs. Smith said he felt township government in Illinois was the most efficient and cost-effective form of government. He said it wasn't simply another layer of government, but a critical layer. It represents you and your families. It lives within its budget and provides the services that you've asked for. Nothing more and nothing less, Smith said. Smith felt any move to consolidate township governments would be a disaster. Also at the dinner, essay winners Kira Bateman of Farmer City, first place, Sawyer Devers, Clinton, second place, and Alana Dean, also of Farmer City, third place, were awarded and read their essays about why the U.S. is a great place to live. Deering's office funded the cash awards for the winners. Master Gardener volunteers celebrate a decade of community involvement. Decatur. Urban gardens play an important role in increasing access to healthy food for families experiencing food insecurity. For the past decade, Crossing Healthcare Garden has served as a valuable community resource, providing fresh produce, education, and community engagement. Crossing Healthcare Garden's 10-year celebration will be from 9 to 11 a.m. on July 25th at 320 Central Avenue. Community members are invited to explore the garden and enjoy a variety of family-friendly activities. University of Illinois Extension Master Gardener volunteers will offer guided tours and answer gardening questions. Since opening in 2016, the Crossing Healthcare Garden has donated thousands of pounds of produce, distributed throughout the community through market day bags and the Prescription Produce Program. The garden continues to make a significant impact, having already donated nearly 800 pounds of produce between June and early July. Master Garden volunteers donated more than 100 hours of service in June, planting, maintaining, and harvesting crops. Their efforts are essential to the garden's success and help increase access to healthy food in the community. Enjoy a day in the garden with us and learn about the garden's impact, says Horticultural Program Coordinator Whitney Allison. We hope you'll bring the whole family to this fun and educational event. This event is free and open to all ages. Advance registration is appreciated. Walk-ins are also welcome. Visit go.illinois.edu/garden-celebration by July 24th. And now from the op-ed page, the On Point column by Richard Corrett, I was right, I wish I weren't. There is inherent friction between the prosecutor's office and the police. Locally, I've always believed both parties were trying to accomplish the same goal, but they have divergent ideas about enforcement. I still do some legal work in Logan County, representing parties, including children, in abuse and neglect cases one day a week. It keeps me busy. The past several months have produced numerous cases in which cannabis was a factor, which brought some memories of when I was the state's attorney. There was an afternoon when I was talking to the Drug Task Force people about their efforts regarding drug enforcement. I voiced the opinion that I would prefer less time on marijuana cases and more time on other drug offenses. The police were not pleased with my suggestion and demanded my rationale. I bluntly stated that marijuana possession would be legal in the next 5 to 10 years and their efforts would be for naught. To say they disagreed with me would be a gross understatement. They were angry and suggested in rather lucid terms that I was soft on crime. I ended the conversation with a comment that time would be the judge. Today there is a cannabis farm factory operating in Lincoln. There are numerous places in Clinton where one can obtain cannabis-related items. There is even a large cannabis dispensary in Collinsville, which is almost next door to the Illinois State Police Headquarters. Illinois has decriminalized cannabis possession for individual use. And one more thing, the vast majority of those cannabis-related convictions are now subject to expungement. The bottom line is, all of that expenditure and time spent on cannabis prosecutions was for naught. The public in Illinois and many other states have simply chosen to take cannabis out of the criminal arena. The attitude has simply changed. I personally see a lot of positives in cannabis, or its chemical element, THC. There are significant possibilities for eye medications, pain medication, and simply the calming effects of THC on the body. Those are all well and good. There needs to be standardized research into all of that. The problem is that research doesn't appear to be happening. What has happened in the research is that the cannabis sativa plants are now being developed to have much more potent levels of THC. Unregulated THC. You can get medical marijuana prescriptions for pain and anxiety. What I don't see is significant medical oversight of that prescription. When Illinois decriminalized marijuana, there was and is a large segment of the society that simply chose to self-medicate. Marijuana relieves the pain and lessens the anxiety, so why not increase the dosage? The potheads of my youth are gone. Today's chronic marijuana users are truly smoking a chimney. Add to this the fact that they are driving and tests to determine their impairment are not readily available. We have a problem that no one wants to address. Yet the penalties of yesteryear may have been too harsh compared to the harder drugs. But today there seems to be no accountability for excessive use of cannabis. A breath test is a quick and reliable for abuse of alcohol while driving. That convenience is not there for cannabis abuse. THC is a drug, and as with most drugs, it is subject to abuse. The legislature needs to do a much better job of regulating its use. In regards to my conversation with the police of years gone by, I acknowledge that time judged my analysis correct. At the same time, I find no joy in watching many individuals abuse a drug just because it makes them feel good and the state says it's legal. The problem is going to get worse. Richard Corrick is an Illinois native, attorney, and former DeWitt County state's attorney. And another from our op-ed columns. Thank you for believing in local news from the Mac desk of Billy McMacken. Thank you for believing in local news. At this week's newspapers arrive in your mailbox, I simply want to say thank you. Over the past few weeks, hundreds of readers took advantage of our $17.76 off on the annual subscription special. We saw an incredible number of renewals from longtime readers, and just as exciting, we welcomed many new subscribers to the Normalite newspaper group family. To every one of you, thank you for placing your trust in us. In today's world, you have more choices than ever when it comes to getting information. The fact that so many of you chose to invest in your hometown newspaper tells us that local news still matters. You understand that nobody covers our small towns, local governments, schools, churches, businesses, clubs, sports, and community events the way local newspapers do. Your subscription is much more than a newspaper delivered each week. It is an investment in your community. The reality is that producing 9 community newspapers every week is expensive. Each week we spend about $5,000 on printing and postage alone. And that doesn't include the countless hours spent gathering news, taking photographs, designing pages, selling advertising, and delivering a quality newspaper to your mailbox. This is why your support has never been more important. If you are already a subscriber, please continue renewing your subscription. If you enjoy what we do, tell your friends, neighbors, and family members. Encourage them to subscribe. Every new subscription helps strengthen local journalism and helps ensure these newspapers continue serving our communities for years to come. We said it before, but it bears repeating. These newspapers belong to the communities they serve. They tell the stories that would otherwise go untold. They celebrate accomplishments, chronicle history, recognize volunteers, report on local government, and preserve the memories of our towns, 1 week at a time. Thank you for believing in that mission. On behalf of our entire staff, thank you for reading, thank you for subscribing, and thank you for supporting local journalism. We truly couldn't do it without you. Billy McMacklin is the owner of the Normalite News Group. He can be reached at billy@normalitenewspapers.com. Normalite is spelled NORMALITE. And now for a story from the Social Security Administration. Foster care supporting youth transitioning into adulthood. For young people transitioning out of foster care, the move into adulthood can come with both opportunity and challenges. Access to reliable information, financial resources, and trusted support systems can make an important difference during this transition. At Social Security, we're committed to helping young people understand the benefits and services available to them. Helping youth build a strong foundation. Youth in foster care may qualify for Social Security benefits based on their own circumstances or a parent's work record. Understanding these benefits and knowing how to access them can help young adults plan for their future. Some youth may qualify for Supplemental Security Income, SSI, if they have a qualifying disability and limited income or resources. Survivor benefits if a parent dies. Under certain circumstances, we can also pay benefits to married children, stepchildren, adopted children, grandchildren, and step-grandchildren. There are also child benefits through a parent who receives Social Security retirement or disability benefits. As young people prepare for adulthood, having access to financial information and important records can help them make important decisions about education, employment, housing, and health care. Our Youth Toolkit is here to help. We have created a Youth Toolkit. 6 publications to help young people, families, and caregivers, educators, and advocates learn about programs and services that support the transition to adulthood. You can access the toolkit at www.ssa.gov/youth. The toolkit includes information about qualifying for Social Security benefits after age 18, employment supports, financial literacy, healthcare considerations, education and vocational resources, planning for independence. It's designed to help youth understand their options and connect them with tools that support long-term success. We invite you to explore the Youth Toolkit today. Support for our youth matters at not just times of transition, but every step along the way. Mentors, relatives, foster families, teachers, social workers, and community members of all ages play a role in helping young people feel seen, supported, and empowered. Helping a young person navigate important information or connect them to available resources can have a lasting impact on their future. To learn more, read our publication, What You Need to Know About Your Supplemental Security Income When You Turn 18, at www.ssa.gov/youth/documents. Help us spread the word by sharing with your family and friends and on social media. And more information on Social Security from the Savvy Senior column written by Jim Miller. With Social Security uncertainty, should you claim benefits, EE? Dear Savvy Senior, I turn 62 early next year and plan to retire soon after. Most advice says I should wait to claim Social Security because my monthly benefits will be higher. But with all the recent news about Social Security's financial problems, I'm wondering if taking benefits early might be a safer choice. Is there ever a good reason to claim at 62? Ready to retire. Dear Ready, you're definitely not alone in asking this. The latest Social Security Trustees report projects the retirement trust fund could be depleted around 2032 if Congress doesn't act. If that happens, Social Security would still collect payroll taxes and pay benefits, but retirees could face an across-the-board cut of about 22%. Before you rush to file, keep things in perspective. Most experts still expect Congress to step in, as it has before, to strengthen Social Security. And even if lawmakers don't act, waiting would still produce a higher monthly benefit because any across-the-board benefit cut would apply to everyone. While claiming at 62 means collecting benefits sooner, it also permanently locks in a smaller check. That said, there are several situations where claiming Social Security at 62 can make good financial sense. How claiming age affects your benefits. You can start Social Security at 62, but doing so permanently reduces your monthly benefit by about 30% compared with waiting until full retirement age, which is 67 for those born in 1960 or later. Delaying until 70 increases your benefits by about 24%. For example, a $2,000 monthly benefit at full retirement age would drop to about $1,400 at 62 and rise to roughly $240-$280 if you wait until 70. When claiming early makes sense. For some retirees, claiming at 62 is a practical move. If you've stopped working and need income for basic expenses, Social Security can provide a steady check right away. It can also serve as a bridge if you retire early or lose a job in your early 60s while delaying withdrawals from retirement accounts or a pension. Some retirees also claim Social Security early to reduce withdrawals from their IRA or 401k during market downturns. The trade-off is a permanently reduced lifetime benefit. For married couples, timing can be coordinated as a part of a broader strategy. One spouse may claim early to bring in income while the other delays to boost their future or survivor benefit. Health is another big factor. Delaying only pays off if you live long enough to collect those higher monthly checks. The break-even point between claiming at 62 and full retirement age is around 78 or 79. If you're still working, be careful here too. Before full retirement age, earnings above Social Security's annual limit can temporarily reduce your benefit, and claiming early locks in that lower amount for life. Why delaying helps. For many retirees, waiting means a larger guaranteed monthly benefit for life and offer a higher lifetime payout if you live into your late 70s or beyond. It can also provide stronger protection against outliving savings. For couples, delaying the higher earner's benefit can increase the survivor benefit, which may help provide more financial security for a surviving spouse. Before deciding, it's smart to review your numbers. You can create a free account at ssa.gov/myaccount to check your earnings record and estimate benefits at different ages. Tools like opensocialsecurity.com or maximizemysocialsecurity.com can also help you compare claiming strategies. MaximizeMySocialSecurity.com is a paid tool with a $49 fee. There is no one-size-fits-all answer. For most people, waiting still makes the most sense. But if you need income, have health concerns, or are coordinating benefits with a spouse, claiming at 62 may be a better choice. The key is to base your decision on your own circumstances, not to fear about Social Security's future. In other news, what would it cost farmers if Illinois banned glyphosate? A new analysis from the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign and Illinois Soybean Association finds that Illinois corn and soybean farmers would lose up to $609 million per year, representing a 3.6% revenue loss if the state banned the weed killer glyphosate. An estimate represents a realistic scenario in which farmers would replace glyphosate with a more expensive and slightly less effective herbicide products and accounts for modest yield losses. But the study's authors say any yield loss, even equating to just 3.6% of a farmer's bottom line, would be hard to bear. I don't know of any farmer who wants to take a revenue loss by any stretch of the imagination, and especially when we've got such tight margins right now, said the study coordinator Aaron Hager, professor and faculty extension specialist in the Department of Crop Sciences and part of the College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences at Illinois. Profits have been projected to be negative again this year for a lot of Illinois farmers, many of which may be on the verge of not being able to survive. The researchers became curious about economic impacts after glyphosate bans were introduced in past Illinois legislative sessions. Considering increasing public attention and court cases related to glyphosate, they recognized that another ban could be proposed at any time. Meanwhile, multiple other pesticide bans were proposed in Illinois earlier this year. The researchers say their analysis methods could be applied to other chemicals. Garrett crowned Junior Teen North America Ambassador. Faith Garrett of Clinton was crowned Junior Teen North America Ambassador 2027 on Friday, July 17 at the International North American Beauty Pageant in Orlando, Florida. With this title, she will represent all of North America as an ambassador and return to Orlando in July 2027 to compete again for the crown. Faith's pageant platform is called Faith's Blessings. She helps provide food and other basic necessities for people who need them. And on that note, I will leave you for this week, and have a good week. I'll see you next week.